Well, we have a new way to start the Viking Update show. When John comes in the room, I grab him by the shirt, I hit him, I yell in his face, and he yells back at me. And I just think all Viking shows should begin this way from now on.
I'm surprised more Vikings games haven't begun this way over the last, like, 4 years with those two, to be honest with you.
It's such a weird team. I mean,
it is.
You know, even if this team went on and won the Super Bowl, we'd be covering them during Super Bowl week going, God, this is a weird team. It's so awkward. You know, it's just such an, I mean, there's really nothing wrong with what happened between Cousins and Zimmer.
Yeah.
It's just weird. It's just like, okay, we don't really like each other, but let's go ahead and just spend this moment pretending we like each other. And Mike Zimmer's going to be like, what are you doing? Oh, that's right. We're supposed to like each other. You're fine. And the security guard's like, don't get too close to the head coach. He's 85 years old and you're kind of a robot. We don't want you to crush the head coach. I don't want to make too much of it, but I do want to have fun with it.
Well, you have to, and I think Ron Johnson on KFN, I was driving home and listening to the post-game stuff, and this part of it came up, and it was basically described as, you know, it was a very awkward interaction, and I think it was Ron, it might have been someone else who said, you know, wait a minute, you're telling me that Kirk Cousins had an awkward interaction with someone? You're telling me that Mike Zimmer had an awkward interaction with someone? These guys, all they do is have awkward interactions with everyone who comes in their orbit. So I guess I understand it. But yeah, you look at it and was Zimmer saying, get out of my face, I don't want COVID from you? Or was he just like, didn't know what the heck was going on in the heat of the moment and just was, I have no idea exactly what was going on. We asked, you know, Cousins mentioned it after the game and said, you know, it was just a celebration. And I think probably in his eyes,
yeah,
it was just a celebration.
Yeah,
yeah, we're just having fun. But Zim did not know how to handle that in the moment. And, it was comical for sure.
Cousins should come with subtitles.
Yeah, so absolutely.
As he's standing there, just, you know, the scroll beneath his face should be, I am having fun now. Watch me have fun. Like a human being, yeah, would do.
Yeah, and I think you might have said to Zim, you like that?
Yeah.
And Zim's like, no, I don't like that. No, I don't.
Wear your plexiglass shield when you're around me.
Get out of my face.
The only thing that could have been better about that awkward interaction would have been if Everson Griffin had broken it up.
Oh, man. Absolutely. Just like you said, this team, I mean, just the awkward scale, the nail-biting scale, the really just kind of the angst that has surrounded them the whole time. Like, that was a perfect rejoinder for the end of a garbage game.
Oh, my God. This is the Viking Update Show, part of the TalkNorth.com podcast network. Follow us on Twitter at TalkNorthPod. You'll see all the shows as they are released. Outdoor, great, best sports lineup in Minnesota, some novelty shows, some new additions coming. Best way to listen to this or any shows on the network, subscribe to your favorite podcast app. It's free. It's easy. Thank you to BetUS.com. Promo code is TNorth125 for 125% sign-up bonus. We're going to do our picks with Barry Barger, the betting expert from BetUS, later. Thank you also to Starbank, starbank.net, and Pizza Barn in Princeton, pizzabarnprinceton.com, pizzabarnprinceton.com. Let me get it right. Jody Stay had her food truck out at our event at TCO over the weekend. Great to see her. So they're 2-3. They're exactly where I thought they'd be at this juncture. I thought they would beat Cincinnati and lose to Seattle, and it turns out Cincinnati's pretty good, and Seattle's not very good, but they're 2-3. They're right where I thought they'd be. Carolina has had a good season so far, but they're beatable. Sam Darnold has thrown a lot of interceptions. They could go win on Sunday in Carolina, and then they have a bye. It's not setting up that badly, but do you trust this team? Do you trust this team over the next six games against quality competition to do what it takes to really get into contention?
No, absolutely not. Like, how can you, I guess, is my question, because, I mean, that game against the Lions was, I mean, so bad. And yes, they squeezed out the win. They got lucky at the end. The Lions were the Lions. But the defense played well. But again, the defense played well, but they didn't stop the run, and on the last possession of the game, when you absolutely needed them, they just
did nothing.
Opened up the red carpet, rolled out the red carpet for them to score so quickly. So I don't trust any. I certainly don't trust them on the road. That's a thing. Is like, you know, they generally play much better at home, and so yes, the Carolina game is winnable. But would I want to pick them? going on the road? Probably not. The way that this offense has played the last 2 weeks, and you look at what Cleveland, you know, you say, well, Cleveland's got a good defense. I think they do have a good defense, but then the Chargers just hung 50 on them almost. And so you look at kind of some of those things, that the way they come up, and the offense right now is in a real funk. And how they kind of get out of that, how they are better at the end of halves and at the end of games. They were really good at the end of the game, obviously, to get into field goal range, but they just go through these long lulls in the second halves of these games where they don't put anything on the board. And I just think when you go on the road, you're going to have to do that. And, oh, by the way, after Carolina, the schedule gets really difficult.
Yep.
So I'm still trying to find a way to see where they get to, you know, 10 wins. I mean, the math is really hard given the way that they have played so far. And I think, to me, the frustrating part of it is that this is not a team that should be carrying a kicker off the field after they beat Detroit Lions on a last second field. They are not. They are not the Bengals. They are not the Panthers. They are an established veteran team with a lot of really highly paid and talented players on their team, and they are scratching and clawing for everything that they can get. This is a team that should have a higher standard than what we have seen, certainly the last couple of weeks, but really for most of the season, and they're just not there.
They're not. He's John Krasinski from The Athletic. I'm Jim Suhan from The Star Tribune. Our producer is Brandon Morton, as always. Karen Cleary is our sales executive at TalkNorth.com. Has helped us grow a lot. You can reach Karen at KCLEARY at TalkNorth.com if you'd like to advertise with this show or the network. We do appreciate all of your listenership, everybody who's helped us grow. A couple live shows coming up October 20th, Pizza Luce and Eden Prairie, the Chin Music Baseball Show with Roy Smalley and Lavelle Neal. That's at 7 o'clock. October 26th, Downtown Pizza Luce, 7 p.m. Lindsay Whalen and her crew, Downtown Pizza Luce, 7 p.m. October 26th. Thank you for making the live show successful as well. And it was interesting to listen to the post-game press conferences. You had veteran quality player after veteran quality player walking up to the podium, sitting down, and saying some version of this. Well, you know, those are the play calls. We just have to make them work.
Mm-hmm.
It very passive aggressive and also very pointed. And speaking of awkwardness, you're in a gotta win year, and your offensive coordinator is a rookie who's there because his father used to be there. And your defensive coordinators are the coach's son and a veteran NFL coach. I'm not saying it can't work, but it all just feels weird.
It does. And, you know, like, We talked a lot kind of going into this season. I think let's put the defense on one side here,
yeah,
because I think they have generally been good enough. Now, I certainly have some issues with in big spots, with giving up the running plays that they have, with a lot of that, but Zim is handling that side of it pretty well. On the offensive side, just the very interesting thing to me was Mike Zimmer came into this season understanding this was kind of a make it or break it season for him. They have to have success. They have to do a good job. And so I think, you know, you saw earlier on in his career where he got this opportunity and said, I've waited forever for this opportunity. I cannot mess this up. I got to go. I'm going Norv Turner. I'm going Pat Shurmur. I'm going super established guys. Even you throw Gary Kubiak in at the end when we were trying to. But it just really is interesting that with such high stakes going into this season, he's gone with such an unproven guy. And the question that you have is it because he really, really believed in Clint and his ability and him being the next big thing? Or how much of it was, you know what, I can control this one a little more. If I'm going to go out, I'm going out my way.
Yep.
And that's kind of one thing that I do wonder about is, did he make this choice thinking that that was going to be available? Maybe there was not another, you know, really, you know, kind of qualified, super experienced offensive coordinator that was going to come in for like a 1 or 2 year deal and say, I'm going to ride this out. But I have to think in his heart of hearts, some part of the decision to elevate in addition to, hey, I like the way that this offense looks under the Kubiak style. He's a close facsimile. But also, when the going gets tough, I can be put my thumb on the scale a little bit easier with a young guy who's calling plays for the first time than I could with Norv Turner, Gary Kubiak, any of these bigger name, more established candidates. And right now, boy, they got a lot of work to do on that end. They have too much talent to be running it on second and 10 every freaking time. It's unbelievable.
I want to get more into that, the coaching and how it's affecting the skill position players. I do want to thank BetUS.com. It is a great betting site, great mobile app. You can always call in and place your bets in person. Go to BetUS.com for all that information. We're going to do the picks later with Barry Barger, their betting expert, who's good at not just picking games, but picking against the line, picking over, under, looking for value, which is stuff that I don't understand, but he's very good at. Again, the promo code is TNorth125 for 125% sign-up bonus. And speaking of money, have you tried to call your bank lately? Do you bank locally? Star Bank is our bank at the Talk North Podcast Network. They're a family-owned local bank with branches across central and west central Minnesota. With Star Bank, you get all the bells and whistles you would expect from a bank these days, but they have no 800 number, no call center, and no confusing phone queue. You can even request your banker's cell phone number. That's how they operate. Star Bank is a true Minnesota family-run business. Check them out at starbank.net. Star Bank is a member, FDIC, and equal housing lender. And again, Jody Say had the Pizza Barn food truck out at our event at TCO over the weekend. That was a blast. If you want to listen to it, it was Randy Shaver, myself, Chris Hockey, Ryan Shaver talking about prep sports, football, music, all kinds of stuff. And Jody was out there, and she's killing it with the food truck. I mean, her institution in Princeton is, well, her establishment in Princeton is an institution. It's where everybody goes before and after a prep game. She takes care of prep kids. She gives people jobs. But the food truck has just opened up a new world for her. It's been so successful, they're going to add a second food truck. PizzaBarInPrinceton.com. Check out the menu. Go there in person. Order takeout. Order delivery. But best of all, you can go to the tab that says Pizza Barn Food Truck, and you can hire them to come to your event. Highly recommended. So, end of the first half. And here, when it comes to pro sports, where I'm trying to figure out exactly what I should think about something, I usually try to pull the camera back and look at who are your best players and who are your highest paid players. And you look at this team, they're paying Cousins $33 million a year. Jefferson isn't making money yet because he's a rookie, but he's a first-round draft choice.
Yeah.
Thielen is a star in the league. Jefferson's a star in the league. Cook is out. The offensive line's a little iffy. But generally, Cousins has had enough time to throw. They decide not to push it at the end of the first half, even though their quarterback and receiver combination should be the strength of this team. And Jefferson had a monster first half. Second half, they barely got the ball to Jefferson and Thielen. And by playing that passively, they put themselves in a situation where one mistake can almost cost them the game. I get their mindset. Beginning of 2020, Cousins threw a lot of costly interceptions. They lost games they shouldn't have lost, and it killed their season. Last 10 games of last year, most of the beginning of this year, Cousins has been very cautious. He's been efficient. They've had a chance to win games. I get it. But eventually, you have to be more than just cautious enough to win a close game. Eventually, the goal is to be good, and I don't see how they're ever going to be good if they don't trust Cousins and these receivers.
Yeah, I think that, you know, from that particular decision at the end of the half, I understood why fans were booing it, but I also said, hey, you get the ball coming out of the break. The Lions are a team that are going to beat themselves, so don't make a silly mistake that gives them the opportunity to pounce and puts you in a bad spot. A few of their other games going into the half this year, I've just said, you took your foot off the gas, plain and simple. But in the second half, I think was definitely indictable, where you had all of this success in the first half with Jefferson, with going to him. He was getting separation against a banged-up secondary and had zero problem with it. And there just seemed to be this mentality of, let's just get this one over with. Like, let's get out of here. You know, I think we've seen PJ Fleck do the same thing sometimes with the Gophers. Run it. Like, let's just get out of this. It's not going to be pretty, but we're not winning on style points. But when you take that approach, it does change the temperature of the room. And I do think that the offense picks up on that. And, you know, one thing that we have to kind of think about, and I think there are plenty of Vikings fans who say, well, Stephon Diggs was just a diva. We had to get rid of him. He was selfish. Da, da, da. No, it got to that point with Stephon Diggs because he had reached the breaking point. And maybe he went about things the wrong way, but the justifications that he used for wanting to get out were real. And one thing that this team has to consider is some introspection and say, why did Stephon Diggs get that upset? And yeah, there's some diva tendencies to him, but how did we lose him? Because you put yourself in a position where maybe Justin Jefferson is the next one. Maybe Adam Thielen is the next one to say, you know what? I've had enough of this kind of thing. And so there has to be that examination as they are evaluating what is happening here. Because it would have been one thing if in the first half, you know, maybe Cousins was missing Jefferson, maybe just they're getting sacked. Things are going. No, they were rolling. And then it just all went away. And so when you have those things that add up, and I'll give Adam Thielen credit after the game when he said, you know, do we want the ball? Yes. And basically he's saying they are frustrated. But he also said, look, we have to take advantage of the opportunities that are presented. Da, 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 da. That said, they're stacking more of the bricks in the wall between the team and those star receivers, and that wall is getting higher and higher, and that sooner or later it's going to be too much to kind of come back from. And so that approach, I mean, I cannot, I didn't look at the stats when I should have, but they, I mean, how many times did we see them yesterday? Second and 10, second and 15, second and 13, run, run, run. Like, what are you doing? And that's how you lose these guys, and that's where you run into real problems, because you already have credibility issues with the quarterback. And then if your receivers, who are the ones who are actually being productive, are going to start to kind of check out on this, I mean, fold up the tents.
Yeah, and you know, three of their last four games, Cincinnati was kind of a mess. Three of the last four games, they played well second half against Seattle and pulled away. Three of the last four games, they have done nothing in the second half.
Yep.
Arizona, the big final score caused some people to not really see what was there, which is they scored a defensive touchdown in the second half. They did not score an offensive touchdown in the second half of an absolute wide open game. Cleveland, they did nothing in the second half, and they looked bad doing it. Detroit, they needed two 50-yard field goals in the second half, in the fourth quarter, to pull out a game, and they had zero touchdowns in the second half. And that's what worries me. And I know it's become a very popular notion in the modern NFL. Oh, two safeties in the back, you can't throw deep, right?
Right.
Oh, the defense is taking this away. Good teams still make plays against defense. You can't let a defense say, we're going to take your best receiver away. We're going to take your two best receivers away. We're going to take your favorite plays away. Good teams find a way to still get to the good stuff.
Yes.
And also in the modern NFL, if you throw a deep ball to a talent receiver, he might make a crazy play on it. He might get a pass interference call. It might end up just being an incompletion that kind of worries the defense and opens things up. You can't just give up what a strength of yours should be because the defense plays a certain way.
Absolutely, especially when you don't have Dalvin Cook. Like, yeah. Madison had a nice game. Like, outside of the fumble, he was churning out yards. He was doing well, helping to move the sticks. But it's not like you are, every time you are choosing not to throw the ball to Thielen and Jefferson, it's not like you're putting it in the hands of a guy who can absolutely take it to the house anytime he touches the ball. I mean, that is the argument for the Dalvin Cook-centered offense, is he is that dynamic and that talented and that explosive. And I think that it does provide a different dimension when he is the guy getting the ball and churning out chunks of yards, chunks, and then maybe he's going for 30, maybe he's going for 50. But Madison, while a talented runner, is a much more of a workhorse back, much more of a, I'm going to get you 3, 4, 5, 8. You know, we'll get, you know, he had the one long run where he got caught, but it was a good run. But I just think, like, when you're trying to weigh the outcomes of each decision, and you have Justin Jefferson averaging 20 yards a catch, and Adam Thielen, who was quiet, but certainly, you know, is just a really, really dynamic and reliable guy to go down the field to, and you're not doing that, and you're giving the ball to a guy who is going to move the chains, but not going to be, you know, out of this world. That's where it's harder to justify that approach. I mean, you got to kind of change things for the opponent you're playing and for the roster that you have in front of you. And without Dalvin Cook, it's just a different situation.
Later in the week, we'll put out Jeff Diamond's Vikings and NFL Insider. The former Vikings general manager does a great job breaking down the NFL as well as the Vikings. Again, that's at talktowork.com or on your favorite podcast app. So here we are. Vikings are 2-3. They are at Carolina on Sunday. They traditionally don't play all that well on the road on grass. Carolina's not a great team, but it's a challenge. Bye week, it'll be interesting to see if they can get Cook completely healthy by the time they come back on October 31st. Then they're home against Dallas. Dallas is good.
Yes.
They are at Baltimore. That is a tough assignment. They're at the Chargers. That might be one of the toughest assignments in football right now. They are home against Green Bay. Big game. They are at San Francisco. Again, tough team, tough venue. And then finally, they have at Detroit, where we should expect them to beat the Lions, but I don't know what you really think of that game after watching the Lions almost beat them at home. And then Pittsburgh, Chicago, Rams, Green Bay, Bears. I picked this team to go 7-10 before the season started, and that's still where I'm thinking.
Yeah, it feels right. I think I picked 9, and I caveated it. Said I think it could be in anywhere in that 7-9 range. But I just do, like, that's what this team feels like, is just a team that is going to win some games. They're going to be unimpressive doing it. And then when they step up in the weight class, that's when you say, nope, this is not it. And so, I mean, you look at that brutal stretch right after the Carolina game is, I mean, pack a lunch, man, because it could get really, really difficult. Maybe they can find a way to steal the Dallas at home. Or something like that, but they gotta. You're trying to look at down the stretch at some games where you're gonna have to win one those that you're not expected to win, and this team does not often do that, and so that's where I have a hard time thinking they're gonna get above that 7-8 win plateau. It's just like, what are the games that they are going to steal that are going to start to inflate? Because then, don't forget, by the end of the season, they haven't played Chicago. They're going to play them twice. Justin Fields is going to have plenty of experiences under his belt, right? I would rather play him right now, yep. Even though they beat the Raiders on Sunday. I would rather play the Bears right now than in December. And so you look at, you know, those situations. Who knows with Detroit? Maybe they find a way to scratch some things out. But none of these games down the stretch are going to get easier. Pittsburgh, maybe Big Ben is starting to loosen up the joints because he looked okay against Denver. So all of a sudden, like, all of these games are at very minimum going to be really difficult to go in and win. There's not any gimmies on that schedule. And it just, again, you scratch your head with a team that has this much talent on both sides of the ball to be saying that they should be scratching these games out or that they're going to be very difficult. I think it's a bad, bad sign for where this team is going.
And one thing we do know, whatever they do, it's going to be fascinating.
No question.
Because this combination of personalities, the way the NFL is playing, the NFL is having a spectacular season. Close games, crazy finishes, suspense, drama. It's been fantastic entertainment. Even the Vikings at 2-3 have been entertaining in every single game. We're going to keep talking about it here at TalkNorth.com. Thank you for listening to the Viking Update Show. All right, we're up to our weekly picks with BetUS.com betting expert Barry Barger, who will take you into all kinds of things that I could never tell you about. We love having an expert on. Reminder, BetUS is the three-decade leader. Join now for 125% bonus with promo code TNorth125 or 200% bonus with TNorth200. If you're using crypto, you bet sports, casino, horses, pop culture, and more at BetUS.com. You bet, you win, you get paid. BetUS. Three picks I want to get to this week, Barry, plus whatever else you want to throw at me. And the first one, of course, of local interest, big NFC North game, Packers at Chicago, Packers giving up 4.5 points. What do you think?
Well, I mean, the Packers look like they're a little susceptible. So, I mean, that was a great game, but they sure couldn't make any field goals in the game, huh? That was pretty dang strange. But at 4.5, I really like getting plus one, plus three, getting over the 1, 3, and 4 numbers on the plus in Chicago at home. You know, I think Justin Fields is – I mean, he's going to get better every week. And naming him the starter for the season, I think was, you know, I'm sure the bosses told Nagy, this is what you do or you're going to get fired.
Yep.
So, you know, which is a smart move.
Yes.
Gives the quarterback confidence, you know, it's going forward. And I really got confidence in this guy to develop as one of the best quarterbacks, especially of the rookie class. You know, obviously Zach Wilson's taken some – hits, but of the rookie class, I mean, Justin Fields should be the number one or two guy by the end of the year, in my opinion. And so that's just too many points to give this rivalry, I think, at Chicago. And Green Bay's proven that they're 4-1, but they aren't dominant. They aren't dominant, and Chicago is on the ups, but I think they've got enough to definitely stick within there. And in a lower scoring game, I expect too.
I agree with you. I think this kind of game, this kind of rivalry, especially playing at Chicago on that weird turf where you never know what's going to happen, I would hate to give away that many points. I'm with you, man. All right, let's move on to it. Really interesting game. Two really fascinating teams. Arizona at Cleveland. Arizona undefeated. Cleveland good, but you know they've had their road bumps, as most teams are going to, and playing in Cleveland, which is a tough place to play. And this is fascinating. Arizona undefeated, and yet Cleveland is giving 2.5 points, if I read that right.
Exactly. I can't believe that. Jump on Cardinals right now before that goes to pick them, because in my estimation, that would be where it should be heading. Even in Cleveland, Baker Mayfield's proven that, and he didn't have a bad game. He threw for 305 yards, but he's proven down the stretch in these tight games, which this could end up being a tight game. I wouldn't doubt it if Arizona would win by a touchdown or more. So I really like the plus 2.5. And, you know, I wouldn't wait, because I would not expect that to go to minus 3. Now with Arizona undefeated and Cleveland not able to close it out, they could have beat the Chargers. They really could have. But the Cardinals are proving that they're for real. I mean, that offense is insane. And even with Cleveland's good defense, that's just – I'm not giving. I was, when I first looked at it, I'm like, is that right? You know, just kind of like maybe you thought, huh?
Yeah, I'm shocked by that line. I would absolutely bet Arizona in that. I'd probably bet Arizona even up. I certainly love getting points, and especially in a league that has been bonkers and so many games coming down to last second kicks and, you know, 3 points or fewer games. I absolutely would take Arizona there. And of course, the
plus
big,
you,
go ahead.
Go ahead. No, plus you make a great point. Betting Arizona, just bet them on the money line. You get plus 125, 100 to win 125 on a pick 'em right now, which is probably where that line's going to end up. Right now, you can get plus money on it.
Wow.
Yep. That's the way to pounce on that. That's a good point. No, I think you nailed it there.
And now the big game for this market, Minnesota Vikings at Carolina. Carolina did not look very good in losing to Philadelphia on Sunday. Darnold starting to throw interceptions, but the Vikings historically struggled to play on grass on the road, and the Vikings are a very strange team right now. Carolina giving a point. This one, I'm not even sure how I would bet. What do you think?
Okay, here's the problem I see for Minnesota is that I would expect McCaffrey's probably back for this game.
Probably, yep.
And so that's the only thing that scares me. But Minnesota's, okay, for having one of the best offenses in the NFL, they have not been really lighting it up the last couple weeks. So especially this week, the last 2 weeks, it's only scored 10-7 against Cleveland. But Minnesota, and this is one of the teams that from the beginning of the year that I'm still sticking with, underrated. Hold on. Technical difficulties. Sorry about that. Underrated. But we'll be strong through the season. I mean, and against Carolina, their defense was obviously a little overrated at the beginning of the year with who they played. You know, I think they played the Jets, the Giants, and the Jags to start off and get that defense all fired up, like, as one of the best. But Minnesota's underrated, and their offense is going to come back and be a powerhouse. If I'm getting plus one there, I'm still taking Minnesota because I'm not buying that Carolina is one of the elite teams. And the record and the reason that line is Carolina minus one, I think, is because of Carolina's defense and their record, and it's against not great teams. And so Minnesota offense gets back on track, I think, even against this defense. And I think they score some points here. 46.5. I don't know if I'd say definitely go over on that because I don't know if McCaffrey's going to be in. I don't know if Carolina's going to score a lot of points, but I'm taking Minnesota on this for sure. What I mean, plus one, Carolina's overrated. Minnesota's underrated. That's basically my theory on this game.
I think just because I've been covering the Vikings since 1990, I just have trouble picking the Vikings on the road on grass unless they're really playing well. And they're just not playing that well right now. So I would have to take Carolina just because of my history watching this team struggle on grass on the road.
Well, that's great insight for me then, because I didn't really, I haven't gone into this game deep enough to know, but I didn't realize, so they struggle on grass on the road. You know, like, that's one thing that I didn't have ingrained. That's, I need to reanalyze this and look at that, because, is that because their offense just can't get going that great on the grass?
They generally, you know, ever since they became a team, an indoor team in the Metrodome, they generally have built their right. roster with quick players, fast players, and they just look a half step slow on grass. They always struggle at Soldier Field. Lambeau Field, they've had their victories, but they also sometimes have gotten completely blown out by average Packer teams. They tend to struggle at Carolina. They tend to struggle in Tampa. It just doesn't seem to suit this team's personality to play on grass. It's not that they can't win. It's not that they won't win. It's just that if you're looking for, you know, a way to shade, I always shade a little bit away from the Vikings in games like this.
Right. Yeah, that's it. Those are all good points. Those are all good points. That's a tough one, man.
Yeah. And you know what? I would also say this. Anybody who really wants to bet, you should listen to Barry. You should not listen to me. And then you should go do your own research anyway. You know, find your own reason for picking whatever you're going to pick.
Right. And on BetUS, we have something called the Locker Room that has articles on every game. So, and it'll go into detail on stats and why, you know, this writer's picking one way or the other. And you don't necessarily have to go with what they say, but you're going to get some information on, statistics and trends and all that kind of stuff there, because the writing there is excellent. And there's write-ups on every team, every game, everything. So it's a great place to one-stop shop. Just get your info there. It's not swayed one way or another or anything like that. It's just writers going by what they know, you know, professionals that have been doing this forever.
So I was looking up a piece I did on StarTribune.com back in 2019. I haven't updated this, but at that point, the Vikings on their winning percentage on grass fields in road games, they were winning 39% of their games. That was since they moved into the Metrodome through late 2019. They had a 39% winning percentage in grass games on the road.
Uh-huh, and got used to the turf and built their team around that also. Huh. Yep. That's a great – your listeners should listen to you, okay?
Every once in a while. Every yeah. once in a while.
No, that's a great nugget. No, those nuggets are important.
Well, cool. So go to the BetUS app. Go to the BetUS.com website. Do your own research. Listen to Barry. And think about what Barry – also, I think one of the cool things you brought to the show is the insight that, hey, the lines very well could change. And so if you see a line you love, bet it quickly. And if you see a line you're not sure about, maybe wait to see it change.
Yeah, for example, so Dallas Cowboys are minus 4.5, and they're on the road at New England. but Dallas is typically a public bet team. That's probably going to six. So if you like the Cowboys, it'd be bet the minus 4.5 now, because there's certain teams people are always on. So, you know, getting on those teams earlier and going against them later is kind of key. If you like the Pats, wait till it goes to six.
Interesting. That's good stuff. All right. So go to BetUS.com, get the BetUS betting app, and go make yourself some money. Thanks to Barry, as always, and we'll talk to you next week.
Awesome. Been a pleasure, always. Thanks. Appreciate it, Jim.